of God said. Amen. Once again, the Lord uses an agricultural scene to teach valuable lessons concerning the gospel of the kingdom. Such is the importance of the parable that is repeated, as I said to you in the reading, in all three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we'll not go into the meaning why it's in there. I explained it to you in the Synoptic Gospel. But it is a parable which instructs us concerning the manner in which the Word of God is received. We saw evidence of that today at our open air. And I do believe we have a vivid picture. The Lord gave the ones at the open air today an object lesson in the parable. The Lord gave to you the very thing that I'm preaching on tonight. Some of you were present at the open air and you saw how some receive the word of God. You were there. You were present. I have to say this, that the revving of that motorcycle and right in front of us, the playing of that song, Highway to Hell, in front of us, it stirred up our brother James King. And I've never heard James raise his voice in a long time. And he raised his voice and he outshouted the motorcycle and the music, and he still got the word out. And I said to James, you know, it'd be good if someone raved up in front of me tonight and got a car out in the car park, and it might just stir me up as well. But you will see the very object lesson of what I'm going to preach on, those who were at the open air, how individuals receive the word of God. I'm convinced that there are individuals, all four grounds are resident when you're preaching the gospel. All four of them are in a meeting house. I'm convinced of that. Now, you all know the parable, but I will say to you, just by way of remembrance, that the seed is the word of God. The Bible tells us that. The seed is the word of God. Now, we know the sower is Christ and those who he has commissioned to preach the gospel and to witness the gospel to the souls of individuals. The soil is the hearts of men and women, young people, boys and girls. And that's why there's a need for the half hour of prayer and for sessions of prayer at home and in the house publicly, that we might see God prepare the soil for the sowing of the good seed. There's not a single farmer that would go out into his field and sow seed without ploughing it, without cultivating it, without preparing the ground. And if he did so, he'd know full well that you never sow on unploughed ground. You'll never plant the crops on ground that hasn't been cultivated, ground that hasn't been ploughed and broken up before the seed falls into it. We have the different conditions of the hearts of the hearers of the gospel. And that's why I feel the Lord has led us to look at this parable over the next 4 weeks, that we might understand why people respond the way they do. It might reveal the condition of their heart, and we might be better instructed as how to pray for those individuals. Now, from this parable, we learn the various responses to the preaching of the gospel, and it really depends on the condition of the human heart, whether that heart has been prepared of God or not. Most people do not receive the gospel well. Now, we should take that on board. We should not be surprised when we get opposition to preaching. We should not be surprised whenever we are criticized for being too narrow and too straight, and you need to broaden your outlook and this one way of salvation, this narrow way through Christ. You know, there are many ways to God, they'll tell us, and you're just one of those ways, but it's not. I want to tell you, most do not respond or receive the word of God well. And according to this parable, only one in four hearers, only one in four hearers of the gospel respond to the preaching of the gospel. So in other words, 25% receive the infallible, the inerrant, and the inspired word of the living God in the gospel. And we should not be surprised when people reject the gospel, when people spurn the offer of mercy, when men and women and young people and even boys and girls walk out of meetings and the word does not impact them. We should never be surprised. However, on the other side of that coin, the parable can be a great encouragement to those who preach the gospel, whether amongst the adults or the children or the young people, and witness in the open air or witness to their work college or their college and their family members as well. You know, it's a great encouragement to me as a preacher to know that there is good ground and that the seed will never be sown in vain. We will never sow always on the wayside. We will never sow always on the rock. We will never sow always among the thorns. We will sow on good soil, and we will see fruit for our labor. And the interesting thing is this, the seed is never lost. The seed is never lost. Because on this fourth ground, we see that it brings forth an increase, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. It's made up for the other grounds that didn't respond. Those other three grounds are mentioned there, some 30, to compensate for the wayside, some 60, to compensate for the rocky ground, and some 100-fold to compensate for the thorns where the seed is sown and the good soil brings forth more perhaps than we feel that we've lost on those other three grounds. Now, no doubt, according to the parable, there will be false, there will be insincere, and there will be short-lived professions in the visible church. We know that. We have seen it over the years. There are those who have heard the word and they have quickly responded. And then we know that they fall away. And then we read of others and we hear of others in meetings and they profess faith in Christ. And it seems that they can't give up the alcohol. They can't give up the smoking. They can't give up the drugs. They can't give up the lusts of the flesh. And it seems that the cares of this world choke the seed and it doesn't bring forth fruit. And it seems as well that they're individuals and you preach the word and they just remain the same and they never respond in any way positively. They're just the wayside hearer. And men and women, when results are few, it's not time for us to change the seed. It's not time for us then to say we'll get more results if we bring the dance band in. We get far more results, you know, if we have the drums in the corner and the electric guitars and we have the musical directors and we have male and female, young and old, on stage leading the singing and we have the director of music and we'll take out the pulpit and we'll raise the platform so the ones up in the gallery can see those that are performing on the stage and we'll have a little portable lectern that'll be tucked in the corner and every now and again we'll blow the dust off it. And we bring it out, and we might have the Bible read, or we might have a word preached, but it'll only be a few minutes. Don't dare preach a sermon, and don't dare touch upon sin. And so when results are few, when we see the wayside hearer, when we see the stony ground or the rocky ground hearer, when we see the thorny ground hearer, it's not time to say the seed is no good, it's not producing fruit. It's not the time to change to puppeteering and drama. The gospel needs no ornaments, needs no trappings. It still and always will be the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Over the next four Lord's Day evenings, counting tonight, of course, I intend to look at this parable of the sower with you and to consider all four classes of soils and all four classes of hearers. And I trust that the Lord will bless the word to all of our hearts. So first of all, tonight we'll look at the wayside hearer. Notice what it says there in verses 3 and 4, just to refresh your memory. Chapter 13 of Matthew's Gospel, the verses 3 and 4. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came up and devoured them up. I want you to think that the wayside soil, no doubt, was hard, trampled, unploughed ground. Something you would find on the edges of fields today, when people literally circumvent the harvest or the crops that are growing, and they walk round a field. It might even be along a river's edge, where it's a public highway, and it's become, even though it's private ground, it's become a walkway for those who are climbers and walkers, and those who love the countryside. And farmers don't mind, because it's ground that's never cultivated. It's ground that's never sown, never ploughed. It's always left like that. Most ploughs won't go that far, and so on, and they leave the borders and the edges of the field, and it'll grow rough. Some have it there because of conservation for wildlife, and they let it grow wild in order to have wildlife there as well. And walkers come and they tread down the grass, and over the years they make the ground hard, and you don't understand exactly what it is. It's a pathway or a road that really is round the outskirts of a field where people will often walk, avoiding tramping down the harvest or the crops that are growing in the field. As such, the soil was literally packed down, trodden underfoot. That's literally what it means. It's as hard as concrete. In other words, the sun has baked it. It has no nutrients in it. That soil has never been turned over. It has never been fertilized. It has never been cultivated. And you'll probably not grow anything in it, but maybe some grass or some weeds that will grow anywhere. The birds and the fowls of the air hover whenever that seed is sown. And it falls on the wayside, and you can see them coming down, and those swarms, and they sweep down on the seed, and they devour it. It doesn't even get time to sit. That the rain might even make the soil moist, that some root might find its way down, and it might grow on that wayside. No, it doesn't even get a chance. The fowls of the air come sweeping down on that wayside soil, and they scoop it up, and they snatch it away. And it has no time to grow. The ground never produces any fruit. And no matter how many times that field is ploughed and that field is sown, when it falls on that ground, it never produces fruit. And Christ himself gave the application and the precise meaning of this type of ground. Look at verse 19 of Matthew chapter 13. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. In other words, it represents on the unreasonable heart. Notice what Matthew says here in verse 19. He understandeth it not. That's the wayside hearer. What you're seeing in the natural realm, the seed sown by the wayside on hard, uncultivated ground. The Lord said spiritually, as the seed of the gospel is sown, when it falls by the wayside, it's falling upon an unreasonable heart. He says in verse 19, Christ does, he understandeth it not. And you would think, no matter how simple you make the gospel, no matter how plain it is, and how often it has been said of myself and many other evangelists, and I take it as a great compliment, you were very simple tonight. And any person in that meeting could not have failed to understand the way you preach the gospel. They could not go away and say, I didn't understand that. That was too deep for me. There was too much theology in that, and highfalutin words, and I didn't understand a single thing that man said. I want to tell you, friend, even if we simplify the gospel, the Bible says the wayside hearer has an unreasonable heart. That is, he understandeth it not. The heart of this hearer is confirmed in unbelief. They hear the word of God, like everyone else, time and time again. They hear it, but they don't understand what it means to be a Christian. They don't understand what it means to repent of their sin. They don't understand what it means to come to Christ and receive him as their Savior. And they hear it, and it just lies there, and the wicked one comes, and Satan comes, and the devil comes, and he snatches it away, and it benefits them nothing. Doesn't even take root at all, doesn't even sit there. And I want to tell you, it's happening right now. Right now in this house. Right now to our internet listeners. The gospel is being preached. The seed has been sown. And the devil has already snatched it away. And you will become, as you always were, a wayside hearer. You understand it not. It represents the unreasonable heart. In other words, the heart is naturally, because of the sin of Adam, closed to the soul-saving doctrines of God's word and to the voice of the Spirit, which calls in every gospel meeting the sinner to repentance and faith in Christ. I said to you, evidence of that type of ground and that type of hearer was found in the open air encumber today, an unreasonable heart who understands not their need to be saved, even though they have heard the gospel, and even though they're hearing the gospel. The wicked one, Satan and the devil, has snatched it away, and they remain impenitent and unreasonable, and they understand not the holiness of God, the reality of hell and judgment, and their need to be saved, born again, and washed in the blood of Christ if they are to be in God's heaven. So when the Bible speaks of sin, and the preacher preaches up sin, they don't understand the universal plague and pollution of the human heart of all mankind. They refuse to believe this truth, and they will not apply it to themselves, but they'll think of the down and out, the prostitute, the adulterer, the fornicator, the fraudster. They'll think of all those that are cheats, those that are liars and murderers, those that are thieves and robbers. They'll think about those who are drug takers and those who have an addiction, and they'll say, it's them, but not me. I'm not the sinner that Christ's talking about. A wayside hearer. Ground that is never understood. It's an unreasonable heart, and no matter how much you preach, they will not understand. They're totally unreasonable. You can't reason with them. And that happens in gospel meetings. When the scriptures proclaim the terrible end of sin, hell itself, they will either play it down or somehow believe they're not bound for hell. They're not on the broad road. They're not perishing. It seems that they don't understand. They're unreasonable. You preach, you explain, you expound, you apply to the conscience, to the heart, to the soul, soul-saving truths. And they just lie there. The devil snatches them away in an instant. When the gospel declares God's love for sinners and the sending forth of his only begotten and well-beloved Son into this world to provide a way of salvation for those who repent and believe, they harden their hearts, they close their minds, and they reject and spurn the offer of God's mercy and grace. The seed never enters their heart. Therefore, they never see their sin. They never understand their need. They deny that there's a judgment day. They live as though it'll never happen. They'll never die. They'll always somehow have another opportunity to hear and hear and hear. But you're a wayside hearer, and the word's not profiting you at all, because the devil's snatching it away every Sunday night, and every time you've been to a gospel mission or read a gospel tract or read your Bible or listened to a sermon on the internet. I wonder, is this you that Christ is describing tonight, young person, older person? You're a wayside hearer with an unreasonable heart. In other words, you continually and naturally reject the offer of the mercy of God and the gospel. And in a sense, you may not think you're like this, but you're a hardened sinner. Oh, you say, no, I'm not. Oh, listen, friend, the wayside hearer is, the ground is as hard as stone. I want to tell you, my friend, there's individuals and they hear and they hear and they have little time for God's Son. And if they understood, if they really understood, they would flee to Christ and come to the Savior. It's not only an unreasonable heart, the Lord said, but it's also, I believe, an uninterested heart. Notice in verse 19, it does say, understandeth it not. In other words, it doesn't want to know. It doesn't want to face up to the truth. It's an uninterested heart. A heart that is willing to hear so much of the gospel, the love of God, the mercy of God, but sin, repentance, me facing up to all my sin, repenting of that sin, facing up to hell and judgment. You know, it's a very uninterested heart. I would rather think about the positive side of the gospel rather than the negative. The wayside here represents that group of individuals who are told of Christ and his finished work that satisfies all the legal requirements of God's holy and just law. It represents those who are literally exhorted to repent of their sin and to come to Christ for salvation. It represents those who are pointed, as we were singing, to that fountain filled with blood, that their sins might be washed away and cleansed in the blood of the Lamb, and they would have remission of sins or forgiveness of sins. But sadly, they are indifferent to such things. They can take it or leave it. They can postpone it. They can say another time. They can say, like Felix, whenever convenient season. Even like Agrippa, almost thou persuadest me, but not altogether am I persuaded. And they have an uninterested heart. I spoke this afternoon with a wayside hearer at the open air. A wayside hearer. And I said to that person, do you ever think about getting saved? Her answer, I have too many things going on in my life to think about that. An uninterested hearer. Too many things. And I said, your soul is more important than all of those things. Change the subject. An uninterested hearer. There's another wayside hearer. We should not be surprised if we get such an attitude to the preaching of the gospel. I want to tell you, friends, sadly, they're indifferent to the things of God, the wayside hearer. An unreasonable, an uninterested heart. In other words, there's no affection in their heart for the Son of God. No interest in His precious blood at all. There is no thought of His sorrows and sufferings and what He has undergone at the place called Calvary as the sinner's substitute, when He suffered and He bled and He died alone and He paid the price for sin and He offered to God one perfect, complete sacrifice to turn away divine wrath. And He shed His blood, the payment for sin, death itself, the giving of His sinlessly perfect life in a substitutionary death for sinners like you and me. And there's no interest, no affection, no love, no thought of your soul on what Christ has done to save the sinner from eternal hell and bring them to heaven and the price He was willing to pay. And there's no interest. Behold, all ye that pass by, was the lamentation of Jeremiah, and it was prophetic, pointing to the cross. Is it nothing to you? Nothing. That Christ has suffered, bled, and died as the sinner's substitute. Does it mean nothing to you? Have you more things to think about than that? An unreasonable heart is the wayside hearer. An uninterested heart is the wayside hearer. It represents also an unthankful heart. Over in Luke's Gospel, we haven't time to turn to all of these references, but over in Luke's Gospel, and you can look it up, but take my word for it, in chapter 8 and verse 5, the Bible says, and it's added a little more detail there, and it says it was trodden down. That ground was trodden down. And the Greek word, and I'm not trying to be smart here, the Greek word means to trample down with disdain. It's a bit like taking a gospel tract in the open air this afternoon. And a few weeks ago, if you remember, a tract was put through the door of an individual. And he came by, I saw him coming, and you just knew he wasn't out for a walk with his dog. He was coming, he was making a beeline for the open air. I saw him coming. I saw his face, and I knew this is not going to be good. If I'm right, it was our brother Jackie who was preaching on that occasion. And I think he might have tapped him on the shoulder on the way past and said something. And then all of a sudden I thought for a moment that the leaves had fallen off the trees. Because all this thing started to fall. What he had done, he had taken the literature that come through his door. He had sawed us out. And in front of us he had ripped it to pieces and he fired it in the air so the wind would blow it back in our faces. I want to tell you, that's the kind of hearer. They are wayside hearers with an unthankful heart. The word says it's trodden down. And I want to tell you, that's the Greek meaning. It means to tread down or trample over with disdain. And if you got some literature and you didn't like it, it might be pro-abortion, pro-sodomy, I don't know. But if you got it through your door and you cast it into the bin, or you put it on the ground and you trampled over it, as they do with gospel literature, and they do with the Bible. They burn the Bible. They rip the pages out of it, and they mock it. They take gospel literature we give them and they rip it up in our faces. And they throw it on the ground and they spit on it and they stamp all over it. Well, that's exactly the heart we're talking about. That's the wayside hearer. And again, friends, listen to me. We as believers should not be surprised when that happens. Neither should we get angry. Neither should we get envious or jealous or get ourselves into a rage or a state. We're looking at what Christ has already said is a wayside hearer. In other words, they reject the gospel even with rudeness. With rudeness. I told you I had that at a wedding recently when a whole table of homosexuals sat there. And with rudeness and disdain, they mocked the message. I had it on another occasion when an individual who was a Roman Catholic, she hated everything that I said in that meeting. And afterwards, she made it clear, along with her sister, in front of many people. It was a reception. I remember standing there, and she had a glass of wine in her hand, and so had her sister. And the first thoughts was this: the only thing that's going to happen to me from this woman is this. She may throw the wine over me, but she'll never put the glass in my face. And I moved at a distance from her, knowing I was not in reach. I was in reach of the wine going over this lovely white shirt. But I didn't mind. Better than a glass in the face. And that's how I felt that day. But their hatred for the gospel, their disdain, their rudeness, their insult, and they spurned the word of God. And they mentioned it. They mentioned the word of God. And when I said to them, oh, I'm glad to hear that it's not me you have a problem with. But it's God's word. That's what you hate. That's what you despise. And they actually said these words. Why did you mention that? That's what they said. The word of God. Friends, I want to tell you, that's the wayside hearer. Do you know what we have done for those who this past while have been wayside hearers? We're praying for them. We're praying God will break up that fallow ground. That God would save them. Because friends, there's an awful hell that awaits them if they die without Christ. Die without God, without salvation, without blood. There's an awful hell that awaits that soul. And they have all eternity to regret being a wayside hearer. Rude, abrupt, insulting, treating the word of God and the preaching with disdain. That's what it means, that word trodden down, Luke chapter 8 and 5. Those by the wayside include, now listen to it, those by the wayside include all who treat the word of God with disrespect and disdain. So that's the atheist. That's the Sodomite pride movement. That's the abortion lobby. That's the agnostic. That's the mockers and the scoffers and the ungodly and the wicked of this world. Yet, you wouldn't like to be put into this bracket, would you? Into a company like that that I've just mentioned, and we could mention others as well. But it also includes all who sit in gospel meetings and church services and missions, and they reject the word of God. There's no difference. They're wayside hearers. No difference whatsoever. And imagine being associated with that kind of people. You thought you were better than them. You thought that they were lower and you were higher. You thought you had more morals and you had more goodness than they had. Imagine being linked and associated with such people. Those who have an unreasonable heart. Those who have an uninterested heart. Those who have an unthankful heart. Friends, it's a privilege to hear the gospel once. And there are individuals who stand up in meetings and they've heard the gospel once and they've responded to it and they've been saved. Was it not our friend from the college, Gregory Gibson, who was in this very pulpit, a converted Roman Catholic, and he said those words in this pulpit? He heard the gospel for the first time and he was saved. But yet how many times have you heard the gospel? And it falls on ground that's trodden down, that is hard as stone. Friend, it's a privilege to hear the gospel once, but you have heard it repeatedly, and you still reject. And I want to tell you, it's the most damning sin in all of the world, to reject Christ as Saviour and the glorious gospel of his grace. Reject no more, sinner, but come now, come tonight, repent of your sin, receive Christ as your Saviour, be washed in his precious blood, born of his Spirit. Let him save you by his grace. Let him transform you from the inside out. Let him convert you tonight. Let him save your soul forever. It represents, finally, the unproductive heart. Notice what it says in chapter 13 and verse 4. The fowls came and devoured them up. The fowls came. Now, it's not surprising that the birds came and devoured the seed, because it was lying on the surface. It wasn't buried down deep. It was lying on the surface. It was lying on hard, trodden down, unbroken soil. Is it any wonder that what's happening in the natural realm and the application of it here in the parable, the source of the devouring are the birds or the fowls of the air? But in the spiritual realm, Matthew says it's the wicked one. And Mark says Satan cometh. And Luke tells us the devil cometh. And so we have a picture of the one who comes to snatch away the seed of the word. He is that wicked one. He is Satan. He is the devil. And he's here in Cumber tonight, believe me. And his demons are here under his commission and authority. And they have a job of work to do. And they're saying that they are here tonight. They're here. If you could only see them, they're here. And they're doing something. They're snatching away this seed that's being sown. And they're taking it away from you. And your heart is resisting the gospel. You're a wayside hearer, and the devil's snatching it away. And if that happens tonight, you'll walk out through those doors the same as you came in. Friends, let me tell you something. The devil hates the preaching of the gospel, and he's very active. And if you didn't know that, I challenge you, come out into the open air with us. Come out into the open air. It's only begun. Now, I'm not saying bring it on. That was Edwin Poots' statement recently to the Secretary of State when he threatened to take the money off the MLAs. He said these words, "Bring it on." I was at a wedding that was full of MLAs from the top right down to the lowest on Friday. And I had a little chuckle to myself. And I wonder how Edwin went down with them. Bring it on. That is, take our wages. And I'm sure some of them were saying, "Edwin, no, no, don't be saying that." But he said it. I heard it. Bring it on. That's the words he used on the Nolan show. How do we laugh at it? That's fighting talk, isn't it? Bring it on. We're men of principle. Let's see what happens when the money's gone. Will they do the deal? Who knows? Am I getting political, by the way? But I'm laughing at it. But I'm not saying to the devil and the world and our open ears, bring it on. But all you know is this, that the devil's busy. And I'm glad there's a little song we sing with our youth. It's in the old blue chorus book. Where it says the devil's mad and I am glad, I am redeemed. And you know, we will provoke the devil. And when the gospel is preached, he'll be here. He'll be in the open air. Don't be surprised when the wayside hearers there and they respond the way they do, the devil working with them and in them and then snatching away the seed from them and damning their soul. How cruel is the devil? How wicked, using the sinner and then laughing as they perish in hell. He's called the evil one. He's called Satan. And he's the devil. You know, he hates the preaching of the gospel and he's active even in meetings. Luke tells us he does this. Now, why does he do it? Well, Luke tells us. The Lord Jesus Christ's words are recorded in Luke's gospel and they're not recorded in Matthew or Mark. And the Bible tells me here's why the devil does what he does tonight. Listen to it. Luke 8:12. Lest they should believe and be saved. That's why he does it. Lest you would believe tonight, unless you would be saved tonight, the devil stands in the way. I want to say something. How many of us prayed against the devil tonight for this meeting? We had a public prayer meeting and I'm as guilty as the next one. How many of us prayed against the devil? Who would snatch away the seed sown tonight, lest they believe and are saved. Mark tells us Satan cometh immediately. That's another little detail we've got. So we see the seed is sown. Here's the picture. The devil, the Satan, The evil one or the wicked one comes immediately. Oh, he doesn't wait till the meeting's over. He doesn't wait till you get home, you lie on your pillow, get your supper, and start thinking about things. Too late then. It's gone. Seed's gone. Friend, let me tell you something. The seed was snatched at 7:30. Snatched again at 7:25. Snatched again at 7:40. Snatched again at 9:15. And you're probably saying to me, I hope it stops snatching at 8 o'clock because it's after 8. But even now at 8:09, the devil's still snatching away the seed of the word. He's stealing it away. He's done it already. And he's done it immediately. No sooner have I preached, you'd think it was in vain, wouldn't you? That's why I said to you, 25%. And we believe it makes up for all the so-called loss on the other grounds. The seed will be sown, souls will be saved. But we're looking at the different conditions of hearts and men, as the Lord said will happen when we preach the gospel. Can you see what's happening now as I close? In this very meeting house and meeting house across this province, as I'm preaching, as we're exhorting, as we're sowing the good seed of the word, the devil, the wicked one, Satan himself, is snatching away the seed from your heart. He distracts you. That's how he does it. As if there's more important things to attend to than the salvation of your soul. He deceives you into believing you have plenty of time. You got away with it last Sunday night. There's no lightning, no thunder. There was no striking me down. There was no accident, no disease, no harm, no scam, no results coming through. I've got a good bill of health and here I am again Sunday night and all seems well. He's deceived you. He snatched away the seed. He's told you you have plenty of time. You're again a wayside hearer. And furthermore, he reasons with you that there's no hell. Or if there is one, God will not send you to it because he's a God of love. It's only for the devil and his angels and for bad people, and you're not among that group. Somehow you're a good person. You don't really need to be saved or worry about getting saved. It's for other people, you know, who are in trouble and in desperation, but not for me. I seem to be okay. Friends, I want to tell you tonight that he's snatching away the good seed. But sinner, as I close, don't let the devil rob you of heaven and ruin your soul in hell. Hear the gospel tonight. Respond to its saving truths that it contains. Christ came into the world to seek and save that which is lost, you. He did this when he went to the cross, when he suffered and he bled and died as the sinner's substitute for you. Now he offers free to all, that's right, all who will repent and believe and come to him, freely offers salvation. And all you've got to do is take that step of faith and receive Christ as your Savior. Repent of your sin and believe on him to the saving of your soul. Don't be a wayside hearer tonight. Come to Christ and Christ will save you. His blood will cleanse you. His spirit will fill you to live the Christian life and you'll not be left alone. Come to Christ and may the Spirit of God convict you tonight about that matter. And may you come and bring your sin to Christ and have it pardoned and forgiven on the ground of the finished work and shed blood of the Lamb and bring that soul to Christ and he will save it and he'll save it for all eternity. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He'll take you in. And I pray tonight that you'll not be a wayside hearer, but you'll have good soil and a good heart, and the seed sown will take root downward, bring forth fruit upward to the glory of God in the salvation of your soul. Let's bow in prayer, please. Father, we do thank thee for the preaching of thy word. And we rejoice, our Father, that it'll never return unto thee void. We heard that prayed over in the prayer meeting. And Lord, we know it'll accomplish that which you please and prosper in the thing whereto thou hast sent it. And Lord, we can trust thee with the word. And we pray that it will back at home tonight. We pray you'll burn it in. We pray you'll bless it. We pray, Lord, it'll be sown upon good soil tonight. Hearts prepared of the Spirit of God. That sinners, Lord, would be worked upon with conviction of sin. Their heart ploughed, O God, with a sense of guilt and need of a Saviour. And then we pray, O God, as the seed is sown, that it will take root downward, bringing forth fruit upward, repentance unto life. Faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, hear our humble prayer. Bless the preaching of the old evangel. We humbly ask this in the Saviour's name. Part us in thy fear and with thy favour. Take us all to our homes in safety. Bless the meetings this incoming week. And Father, in answer to prayer, save the lost. Restore the backslider. Revive the church. We ask these things in our Saviour's precious and most worthy name. Amen and amen.